I chose to write about a choir director who's Lutheran and who's a big city girl but has moved to a small town.
Katie Schuerman talking about her new novel, The Choir Immortal.
I really wanted to address suffering in the present tense, this theology of the cross.
You can find out more about The Choir Immortal at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The Choir Immortal by Katie Schuerman.
Truth. What is truth?
Rome holds Judea loose in its hand only as long as the Sanhedrin is able to manage its people.
He threatened everything these people believe in.
I've betrayed innocent blood.
Judas!
He was a magician from Galilee. He needed to be silenced. The Nazarene preached insurrection against all authority.
How can I tell my child I love her and then leave?
Jerusalem is a dangerous place. She watched him being tortured and killed.
Can you not wait?
If they find you, will they kill you?
I don't know.
There's a little bit of the trailer for the TV miniseries, AD The Bible Continues. It's just come out on DVD. Now, I imagine that there are going to be churches that say, now that it's out on DVD, we will save a little time for the pastor. Maybe this summer we'll buy that DVD series and use it as a Bible study. Would that be a good idea? How closely does AD The Bible Continue, the miniseries, how closely does it adhere to the story that it purports to tell, the story of the Acts of the Apostles? Joining us for a mini review of the TV miniseries, AD The Bible Continues, Pastor Ted Giese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity and the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
Would you recommend that a pastor or congregation invest in this first season of AD The Bible Continues here on DVD in order to show it to the people or to use it in Bible class?
My initial answer to that would be no. I would not recommend that. There's a couple of reasons why. One reason is that really by purchasing it, you're putting money into that whole thing. And as we talk about it some more, and if people remember hearing the recaps along the way, they may be able to remember that there are some, you know, questionable things going on in this. So maybe put your dollars somewhere better than that. I would also say that just generally speaking, it's got a lot of things. If it was like a balance, there's more things on the negative side of things than there are on the positive side of things. If you are going to do it, you're going to need to be pretty prepared.
So let's talk about the negative and the positive, begin with the positive. What's the good that one can find in this entire series?
Well, I guess one of the positive things is it comes from, let's just say, a more conservative side of things when it comes to the presentation of the material. So what do I mean by that? Basically, I mean that there are things like, for instance, Mary Magdalene is not presented as Jesus' wife or his girlfriend. She's not presented as one of the disciples or one of the apostles. She's there, and the way that they present her is actually pretty positive overall. So that would be like a good thing. Another thing, this is not pushing the same sort of radical modern sexual agenda that you find often in current Hollywood and cable kind of productions. So that's a positive thing. It does present miracles in a way that modern rationalists would not like too much. So you're not getting kind of like the Jefferson Bible or higher critical take on the text. So those are all kind of positive things. That would be the positives that you could take away from it.
Okay, there are a lot of negatives, you've said. Let's walk through some of them. How would you approach it to begin with?
Well, some of the biggest negatives kind of fall into the category of, like, don't let the facts get in the way of telling a good story. So you have a lot of things where they have disregarded or set aside historical facts, like, for instance, the death of Tiberius Caesar and when Caligula becomes emperor. Like, these are facts that are outside of Scripture. Like, Scripture itself doesn't talk about these things, but they are established facts. And they kind of fudge all of the dates by about 3 years. And they do that in a way that just, in order for them to tell the story in a more expedient fashion, to have all the characters there that they want at the time that they want it and all this kind of thing. But unfortunately, it doesn't take much to, like, Google Tiberius Caesar's death and find out a date and then figure that it's kind of off. So it's just with everything for us as Christians revolving around the cross being the center of everything, when they're off like that, it starts to throw off other things in terms of a timeline for both Scripture and which is history itself, and then secular history outside of Scripture too. Another thing kind of connected to that same thing is how they deal with Saint Paul. Saul, when he has his conversion, later Paul talks about it in the beginning of Galatians, talking about this three-year period between his conversion and going up to Jerusalem. Well, they kind of make that three-year period go away. So there's sort of maybe either A, not a careful reading of the text, or B, a disregard for some of the details of Scripture. And as Lutherans, we like to have Scripture interpret Scripture. So if this is like basic eisegogics, this is like, it's a term that seminarians would know, but just like how the actual story unfolds and the details by which the internal consistencies of the story exist within Scripture itself. And when you start to miss those details or set them aside, you create other problems for yourself.
In addition to that, you say that there is a focus in the entire course of the way the story is told in The Bible Continues on characters and groups that are really in the biblical text either not mentioned or in very, very peripheral to the story, but they become kind of central to the way that AD Bible, The Bible Continues, tells the story.
Yeah, and I guess maybe a less charitable way of saying this is that it's kind of pandering. Like, it makes you think to yourself, like, what do they think? The story's not engaging enough as it is. So, for instance, one of the characters is Caiaphas's wife. So Caiaphas does have a wife, and Scripture says that he has a wife, but it doesn't say what her name is and, you know, that she was involved with the zealots and, like, in a plot with Pilate to try to this or that. All of that stuff is, like, completely fabricated for the telling of the story that they're telling. So you get this kind of thing where, and depending on the episode, it can kind of flip around, but, like, sometimes it's like a 60-40 split between stuff that's just extra-biblical, completely total speculation, you know, maybe more on the kind of something like I, Claudius, or, you know, I think that the way they would like to describe it is kind of like the a Game of Thrones kind of, or House of Cards kind of, like, approach to the whole thing. But it's all fictional. It's taking some fictional characters and really running with it, creating whole other ones out of, like, whole cloth, and just going a different way. So if you, like, if you want to think about the Book of Acts and you want to look at something that depicts the Book of Acts, you're only getting maybe sometimes less than this, 35% to 40% of the show on the Book of Acts. The rest of it is just somebody's fictionalized idea about what a good story would be set at that time.
There are also several theological problems, but the foremost of which you point out is the way that AD The Bible Continues, and it seems like a small thing, but it isn't, the way that the story and the narrative told there refers to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, this is one of the big ones for me personally that kind of gets under my skin, is that the Holy Spirit in AD, the Bible Continues, is presented as an it and not he, like a masculine, you know, pronoun. And that really throws everything off, because if it's an it, if the Holy Spirit, like the way they use that language, if he is an it, then when you receive the Holy Spirit, now you're doing something with it, right? But if it's a he, then he's the one working. And this is, I think, a big theological problem with it. The other thing, too, is that the way that they, the way they show the Holy Spirit throughout the whole thing, because the book of Acts includes the Holy Spirit, Jesus is in this as well, but the way they show the Holy Spirit at work in the book of Acts, it's like a wind machine and stuff like that, but then there's also these moments where they really go over the top. So like Ananias and Sapphira, when they sin against the Holy Spirit, then all of a sudden there's like blood shooting out of people's eyes as they die these horrible deaths, and they make the Holy Spirit look like a jerk. And Peter's having this kind of weird relationship with the Holy Spirit, and he's like, you know, screaming out and holding his fist up against the sky kind of thing. And the same thing happened with the Simon the Magician later. So the whole thing actually all kind of takes place between the beginning of the book of Acts and the end of chapter 10. Of the book of Acts with Cornelius's conversion. But they take a lot of liberties, and the way they present the Holy Spirit is not particularly helpful, and not really the way Scripture itself, not the way Scripture presents the Holy Spirit.
No, these aren't minor things, but I want to return to something that you said before to kind of wrap this up, and that is, look, if it's going to be Bible class or it's just going to be kind of informative for the congregation, using this DVD series, AD the Bible Continues, when it is sometimes devoid of facts, sometimes departs from the facts, sometimes ignores them, facts really matter when it comes to the Bible for Christians, or at least they should, don't they, Pastor Giese?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, if you are doing this, like one of the things we've got for you today, if you're listening to this, is there's a blog post, and we'll have that. And I've got all of the physical notes that I put together for the issues, etc., the segments we did when we did recaps and reviews. They're all there. There's even one in an all-in-one document one that you can get. So if you're in a congregation and this is being used, print it off, give it to the person leading the Bible study, and say, take a look at this. You know, have that at your own personal disposal. If you hear somebody at work over the water cooler who's, watching this show or just got it on DVD or something and is now, like, thinking about it and talking about it, say, hey, take a look at this. Because there are lots of errors and omissions and things that contradict Scripture and just peculiar things that are worth considering. And everybody should really just keep, really careful watch if they end up watching this. And go back, please go back and read the book of Acts, because that's where you get the real story.
Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. You can read his blog and find the notes that he just mentioned at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Ted, thank you very much.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to talk about how the media understands the purpose of ISIS. Has the purpose of ISIS changed, or is the media only now beginning to understand what that purpose has been all along? Terry Mattingly of GetReligion.org will be our guest. We'll send you a free copy of the new Christmas Archbook, O Bethlehem. All you have to do is leave your answer to the question, Issues Etc., What Does This Mean?, on the Issues Etc. comment line before Friday, November 20th, 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from, 618-223-8382. issues, etc. What does this mean? 618-223-8382.
Issues, etc. 24 begins in 18 hours and 15 minutes. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.